Todsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In Genesis chapter 4, this takes place after Abel had been murdered by Cain. We read in verse 25 of Genesis chapter 4, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." Now, when Cain was first born, Eve said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord," and she thought he was the promised seed. And if you know the story of Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel brought different sacrifices. Abel brought the true sacrifice. Cain brought his works. Cain slew Abel. He didn't have to worry about going to jail or going to prison or standing before a court. They didn't have things like that at that time. He was just so upset with his brother, he slew him. But now God gives a new son, and his name is Seth, and Eve thinks that he is the one. And we read in verse 26, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos." That means weak, frail man. What a name to give your son. And then we read early on in the book of God, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, what in the world does that mean? "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, what I want to do, and what I want you to do, even now, is to call upon the name of the Lord. And my question is, what does that mean? Now, this is what the saved do. All of them, without exception, call upon the name of the Lord. This is the difference between a saved man and a lost man. A lost man, somebody who doesn't know God, never calls upon the name of the Lord. Those the Lord has saved are those who call upon His name. This is the distinction between a believer and an unbeliever. Some have suggested that this is the beginning of corporate public worship. Men identified themselves with those who called upon the name of the Lord. This was the distinction between them and the men of the world. Men gathered together to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul makes a statement that gives us some idea of the importance of this thing of calling on the name of the Lord. This is what identifies those whom he has called. Now, the Lord doesn't call everybody. He only calls his elect. Everybody is called through the preaching of the gospel, but the only ones he calls with effectual grace, saving grace, is the elect. When he calls, they respond. If you're one of his, you're going to hear his call. That's taught in the scripture. And we read where Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said in verse 2 of chapter 1, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." Who called them? God did. "Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, everybody that God calls, here's how they respond. They call upon the name of the Lord. We read in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Peter's introductory remarks, when he preached that great message on the day of Pentecost, he begins with this: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is a quotation from the Old Testament prophet Joel. Now, David said, they that know thy name put their trust in thee. Now, in this thing of calling on the name of the Lord, you got to know his name. And the name is the person behind the name. It's not just articulating proper names that God gives himself. It's knowing the person behind the name. You can't call upon someone who you do not know. The only way you and I will know God is if he reveals himself to us. He can't be known by just figuring him out. Canst thou by searching find out God? No. The only way you and I can know God is if he makes himself known to us. And when he makes himself known, we know him. And it's when we know him that we call upon his name. Now, God has many names in the scripture. El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. That speaks of his omnipotence. God is almighty. There's nothing that he cannot do if he desires to do it. He's almighty. He's called El Elyon, the Most High God. Oh, he's most high. He's so far above us, he's other. He is called Adonai, Lord. He's the Lord. That means his will is the one that's always done. He's Lord of creation. He willed this creation into being. He's the Lord of providence. Everything that happens is his will being done. He's in control of everything. And he's most especially the Lord of salvation. If you're saved, it's because he willed your salvation. And saved you must be if he willed your salvation. He's called Jehovah. Jehovah saves. And he goes under seven different Jehovahs in the scripture. There is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. He is our message. Jehovah Raha, the Lord is my shepherd. And because my shepherd is the Lord, I shall not want. I will not want anything. He's called Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, a lot of people will put emphasis on physical healing. If you're healed, he healed you. There's no doubt about that. But you're going to die of something. People put all this emphasis on physical healing. Well, I'm more interested in being healed spiritually. By his stripes, we are healed. What he did on the cross made every believer perfect in God's sight. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. This speaks of his omnipresence. I can't go anywhere where he is not. The Lord is there. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know him as your personal righteousness? Do you know anything about that? Now, if you don't, you haven't learned the gospel yet. He's Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And then he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And that's just not talking about material provision. God provides all my needs. I know that, but he provides my spiritual needs. Everything I need, he provides. Everything God requires of me, he provides. He provides me righteousness. He provides me a sin payment. He provides me a new heart. He provides me faith. He provides me repentance. He supplies for me, provides for me love to Himself. He is the Lord that provides. And then Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He is the peace of every believer. Now, concerning His name, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses makes this request. And this is the highest request a man can ask. He said, I beseech thee, Exodus 33:18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. You can't make a higher request than that. He wants to know what God considers as glorious about Himself. Now remember, Moses had seen a lot. He'd seen the 10 plagues. He'd seen the parting of the Red Sea. He'd seen manna come down from heaven. He'd seen water come out of the rock. He'd seen the giving of God's holy law on Mount Sinai. And after seeing all this, he still says, I haven't seen your glory. I beseech you, show me your glory. And listen to God's answer. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. God's glory is His goodness. Do you know He's always good? Somebody says, how could a loving God let that happen? God's always good. Whether you see it, whether I see it or not, God is always good. And then he says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. This is the name upon which we call. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Now, you read into chapter 34, and he begins the proclamation of that name. Remember how he said to Moses, when Moses said, show me your glory, he said, I'll proclaim my name before you. Now here's what took place, verse 5 of chapter 34. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now this is the name upon which we call, if we call upon the name of the Lord. Listen carefully. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and to the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Now when God proclaimed his name before Moses, he proclaimed his attributes. The name is the person behind the name, the attributes of God. And he mentioned in that proclamation of his name, his own omnipotence, his mercy, his grace, his long-suffering, his goodness, his truth, his immutability, his justice and righteousness. He said, I'll by no means clear the guilty. Now, the only way we can understand how he can forgive sin and yet by no means clear the guilty is in the gospel. That's what the gospel's about. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ answers that question. Now, anything I hear that is not consistent with the attributes of God revealed in this book is wrong. God is known. God makes himself known in this book. He reveals who he is, what he's like. He reveals his attributes, his essence, his substance. It's not something we can so much understand but believe. Here's an example. God is one God in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Equal. Someone says, I don't understand that. Whoever thought you would? I don't understand it either, but I believe it because it's revealed in the Bible. This is God's revelation of Himself. Now, the name of God, I think this is a very interesting passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 3. Now, this is after the Lord has commissioned Moses to go to the children of Israel and tell them about how He was going to deliver them. And we read in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 3, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me. And they shall say to me, What's his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Now only God can take this name to himself. I am that I am. He never was. He never will be. He is the eternal I am that I am. Not I would be, not I should be, not I could be, not I want to be. I am that I am. This is a statement, a declaration concerning the glorious character of God. I am that I am. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Not simply that He exists, but we believe the isness of God. Now, God says, I am holy. I am just. I am sovereign. I am immutable. I am independent. I am all-powerful. I am all-wise. I am omnipresent. You can't go anywhere where I'm not. This is the isness of God. Now, let's look how this began. In Exodus chapter 3, this is such a glorious story. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says God spake from the bush. This is the Lord Jesus Christ appearing to Moses in a pre-incarnate appearance called a theophany. This is him appearing before he became flesh. He appeared to Moses. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now this is a glorious picture or illustration of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bush continued to burn, and it did not need the energy of the wood to continue burning. The bush was not consumed. And this speaks of the independence of Christ, which means He is God. He has no needs. You and I have so many needs. He has no needs. He's utterly independent. He's dependent upon nothing for life. He's utterly independent as the God of glory. He's God. And that bush was not consumed. What does that mean? That speaks of the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the wrath, the fire of God's wrath fell upon him, it could not consume him. He consumed the wrath. He put it away. This speaks of the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the newest believer knows this with regard to him. He might not know all the terms, but you'll remember the thief on the cross. He knew Jesus Christ was God. He said, "Don't you fear God? Seeing you're in the same condemnation," he knew that Jesus Christ was God. Somebody says, "How did he know that?" Well, if you know it the same way, if you know it the same way he knew it, Revelation, God revealed this to him. And he knew that Christ Jesus had no sin. He's perfect humanity. He said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." What a beautiful picture we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses said, when he saw this bush that could not be consumed, and Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." Moses was interested. He was, "How is this?" And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither." Don't you come close. "Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground." Take your shoes off, Moses. Your feet are to be exposed. Now, what is this all about? When the seraphims were flying around the throne in Isaiah chapter 6 and in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, crying, "Holy, holy, holy," what did they do? Well, they all had six wings. With two, they covered their face, unable to look at God in his glory. With two, they covered their feet. Now, your feet have to do with your walk. When they were in God's presence, even though they had no sin, they knew they had the potential to sin if he didn't keep them, and they were ashamed of their feet. Now, if you come into God's presence, you're going to see something of your own sinfulness, your own need of his mercy. And if you don't see that something of your own sinfulness, I'm not talking about somebody else's sinfulness. I'm not talking about society's sinfulness. I'm talking about your own sinfulness. If you ever see who he is, you'll cry with Isaiah, "Woe is me. I am undone." Now, Moses was scared to death at this time. He was now in the presence of holiness. Now, God goes on to say, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the covenant, making the covenant, keeping God." That's who God is. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. For I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, and a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. I've also seen the oppression with the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I'll send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel. Now he said, "Who am I to do this?" He knew he was unfit for this task. And then he asked the Lord in verse 13, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What's his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." Now, God is who he is, whether you and I see it or not. He has an isness, and his isness is revealed in this book called the Bible. He is utterly sovereign. That means he controls everything. He's all-powerful, he's all-wise, he's absolutely just, he's immutable, he can't change. "I am the Lord, I change not." He is who he is. "I am that I am." Now in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Apostle Paul makes this statement, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. What a word. I'm a whosoever. That's why I like that word so much. If it said good people, I might be, I couldn't call. If it said the righteous, I couldn't call. If it even said sinners, I realize sometimes I'm so self-righteous, I don't understand my sinnerhood enough. There's any other description. Those who are born again, I might fear I'm not born again. The elect, I might fear I'm not one of the elect. I might have all kinds of fears with regard to that, but the Bible says, whosoever. I'm a whosoever. That means this is for me. Now here's the important word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You see, it's who He is that saves us. When I call upon the name of the Lord, I'm saying, Lord, save me as an act of Your sovereign will my salvation. Lord, save me in a way that glorifies Your justice, where my sin is put away, yet I'm just before You. Save me by Your grace. Save me by Your power, Your omnipotence. Save me by Your wisdom. I'm calling upon all of His attributes to save me. Now, you can't call on somebody you've never heard of. You can't call on somebody you don't believe. How shall they call on Him whom they've not heard? You can't do it. But I've heard. I'm a whosoever. I've heard who You are through this book called the Bible, and I'm calling on Your name to save me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And listen to this word, call. Whosoever shall call. Now there's an easy word. Lord, save me. That's calling on His name. Lord, help me. That's calling on His name. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. That's calling on His name. It's crying out for help, knowing who it is that you're calling to, and knowing that He is able to do whatever He's pleased to do. If He wills your salvation, you'll be saved. The leper understood this. He said, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. And understand this, there's never anybody that has ever called upon His name that He turned down. Whosoever, I don't care who you are, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here is a sure word, shall be saved. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now, here early in history, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And I pray that you and I will be enabled by His grace to call upon His name. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Neibert praying God will be pleased to enable you to call on His name.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.neibert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.